Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everybody, welcome back to another edition of the 12 Questions podcast on the Teardown feed. My name is Jeff Gluck here at The Athletic, and it's another of our 12 Questions interviews where we ask the same 12 questions to a different race car driver every week. And up next is Chase Briscoe of Stewart Haas Racing. Obviously, his rookie year, just made his Cup Series debut last Sunday in the Daytona 500. And this one, I tell you what, I am really excited about this one because this is the first 12 Questions interview in person since last March 8th or something like that. Whatever Phoenix was, whenever I recorded one at Phoenix last March, had not done any 12 Questions interviews in person up until now. So it sure was nice to do that again. Now, that said, a couple things about this podcast: audio quality, not good. It's not good because I had to find a spot outdoors where I could talk to Chase Briscoe. And adding to the trickiness, I was not allowed to go in the garage. So Chase had to come meet me at a chain link fence. Then I passed the microphone through the fence to him. I had brought a 10-foot microphone cord. We were both wearing our masks and quite separated. However, we were standing next to air conditioning units, loud air conditioning units, on a warm day in Central Florida. And so the air conditioners never shut off the entire interview. They're quite loud. So we had to talk at a high volume to hear each other, first of all, because we weren't standing next to each other. And we had to talk over the air conditioners. So sorry, I guess the trade-off is, yes, it was in person, more fun that way, but also, the audio quality is not exactly like we were in a studio. So apologies in advance for that. However, I think it was a really fun interview. I had a great time talking to Chase. He's an avid 12 Questions reader, so that's always cool. And he had just studied up on the first one of the year with Joey Logano before we did this interview, so he was prepared a little bit, and I thought he had some great answers. So I'd love for you to take a listen. Let's give it a shot. All right, everybody, we're here for the first 12 Questions interview in person since last March. Just to set the scene for you here, Chase Briscoe and I are standing on opposite sides of a chain link fence. We have a long microphone cord in between us. There's an air conditioner on.
Some nice air conditioning units, yeah.
What's that?
There's some nice air conditioning units over there.
Air conditioning, there's generators in the background, but we're in person, so we can just forget all that. We're just happy to be here.
I think this is the first in-person interview I've done since probably the same time period.
Wow, this is great. It's nice to see people's facial expressions again when you talk to them, you know?
Your eyes, well, I can see them.
Yeah, right. I can't see your smile, but I'll just assume. So, Chase, here we go with the first question. When you meet someone who doesn't know who you are, do you ever lie about what you do for a living?
No, I normally say. The only time I'll kind of beat around the bush is sometimes I just say I work with NASCAR, like in NASCAR, instead of saying like, yeah, I drive or whatever. But nine times out of 10, I just tell them what I do. I mean, it's cool. People like talking about it. So, I mean, I don't mind talking about it. I enjoyed what I do for a living. So, yeah, I would say the only time I still working in NASCAR is the same as driving, I guess. So, yeah, that's the only way I guess I would say I've done it.
Okay. Which current Cup driver have you known the longest?
It'd be a toss-up between probably Bell and Custer. I'm trying to think. I've known Bell a long time from virtual racing, probably 2010, 2011. But as far as meeting him in person, it's probably 2000, I don't know, 13, 14, and I met Custer around the same time. I actually drove for Custer in the Chili Bowl in like 2014. I drove a Haas 00 midget.
Wow.
So I've known Cole for quite a long time. I would say either one of those two guys probably. And then LaJoy would be kind of in that, because I ran LaJoy's seat since I was like 10 or 11.
Okay.
So I knew of Corey. I just didn't really know Corey, if that makes sense.
Interesting. See, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, Bell, if you'd said Bell, I could have seen that. But Custer, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, he was like one of the first people I ever met when I moved to North Carolina, because him and Nick Drake were really close, and Nick Drake I'd race sprint cars with. So, yeah, Cole was one of the first people I ever met when I moved to North Carolina.
Wow. We've kicked on another air conditioner here. Yeah. So.
The background noise is ripping now.
Can you describe to us what it's like to crash in a race car?
It's not fun. There's different types of crashing, because like a sprint car crash, when you're flipping, it feels like it takes forever. Like, it feels like, at least for me, I'm up there for a minute. And then you go back and watch the tape, and it was like a second and a half long, and you're on the ground again. But it's crazy, when you're flipping, it gets so quiet. And I always try to keep my eyes open, so like everything's kind of spinning. And you know you're in the air, and when you're in the air, you know you're going to come down at some point. So you're just kind of bracing for that impact and trying to figure out how you're going to hit and how bad it's going to hurt. But then the NASCAR stuff, you know, I've been fortunate not to crash a ton on the NASCAR side, but I would say blowing a tire is probably the most miserable feeling, just because you see the wall coming and you know you're going to hit it. It's just a matter of when you're going to hit it. And I've only done that twice, but I remember Kentucky in practice in a truck. I did it one time. I felt like I could contemplate my whole life leading up to the wall. Like you just saw it coming. You knew there was nothing, and it took forever. And then when it hits, it hurts really bad. But yeah, I mean, crashing is definitely hard to explain. It hurts the next day and sometimes the week after. But knock on wood, I've been fortunate not to crash too hard. So I'm going to try to keep it that way.
Now, you said you keep your eyes open, or you try to keep your eyes open. Why do you do that?
I don't know. I think I try to grip the steering wheel too as tight as I can. I think that's potentially wrong. You could break a finger or your wrist or whatever. But for me, at least, I know if I'm gripping the wheel as tight as I can and my eyes are open, I know I'm still conscious. So I just try to do those two things. And sometimes I'll shut my eyes like once I hit. But for the most part, I keep them open because I want to see what's coming so I can kind of brace for you know, that impact that's about to happen. But, you know, Kyle, I think he left his eyes open when he flipped in New Zealand, and they were all, like, red after that. I haven't ever wrecked that hard, so I'm sure it might be a little bit different if I did. But, yeah, I try to just grip the wheel as tight as I can, and just because I know I'm conscious if I'm still gripping.
Okay, interesting. Do you have any new habits or lifestyle changes that you've made lately that you're particularly proud of?
No, not really. I haven't. If anything, I'm kind of not proud of myself. My workout routine has definitely fell apart the last, well, however long we've been in COVID. I should have probably done a lot better at that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like me and my wife obviously have spent way more time together now than we've ever spent. And then just, you know, me and my dogs, I guess I'm more of a family man, I guess, just because I've been home so much more than I normally would have ever been. But outside of that, I wouldn't say there's been any life-changing things happen during COVID. My diet's still the same. I just had some chicken tenders and hush puppies a little bit ago. So, yeah, I haven't really changed too much, I don't feel like.
Okay. What makes you laugh during a race?
Just it depends. I was dying laughing, actually. We went to a Trans Am test 2 weeks ago at COTA. And it was me and the Penske guys, all the SHR guys. Bell was there, Byron, a couple guys. Well, it's called this Chin Track Days. And you're out there with, I mean, there could be a Mazda Miata, and we're in a full-blown race car. There could be a Lamborghini. I mean, there's all kinds of cars out there. Well, you're not allowed to pass them unless they put their hand out and point you by. Well, I'm following Bell, and he's just bombing it in under people. And, I mean, they're getting scared because a lot of these guys aren't race car drivers. They're just, you know, out there to have fun. And this guy was driving a Ferrari and didn't point Bell by. And the guy turned down and Bell KO'd this Ferrari right in the left rear quarter panel.
No way.
And my eyes got so big, and I felt so bad for him knowing that he just hit that guy. But at the same time, I was dying laughing. And I probably shouldn't be laughing about it, but luckily the car didn't really get tore up. It just dented the fender a little bit and got some rubber on it. But that's the last time I've laughed really hard inside the race car, just because I couldn't believe he just hit a Ferrari at this, you know, track day thing. But it depends. I mean, there's stuff all the time that you laugh at. But that's definitely the one most recently that I was laughing pretty hard.
Oh my God. That's amazing. What is a quality or a skill you envy in another driver?
Man, I don't know. That's a good question, because I feel like every driver kind of has their own uniqueness, things that make them really, really good. I feel like at times I get to the point where I'm probably overly cautious, I feel like, at times. That's something I wish I could kind of put behind me at times. I mean, I think 9 times out of 10 it pays off for me just being there at the end of the race. But there is times I feel like early in a race where I could be a lot more aggressive, and, you know, especially with the no practice stuff, I kind of take 10 or 15 laps, kind of feel out what I got. And then at that point, you know, if you started 9th or 10th, you're kind of 7th, 8th area, where, you know, like Cindric last year would go right from the beginning, he'd be leading, and it takes a little while to get back up there. So that would probably be the one thing. You know, I feel like I can go right away. I just like kind of feeling out what I got, and to me, there's no point in wrecking 10 laps in and not being there at the end. But, you know, I do think there's times where that does pay off.
Okay. So I'm asking everybody a wild card question, random question. I guess not really random. I knew what I wanted to ask. So for the past couple 12 questions interviews that we've done, you always reveal a little bit more about your diet, and it just fascinates people. People talk about it like every time your thing gets tweeted all year, like your 12 questions, one of your answers, people screenshot them. They're like, what? I don't want to come off like I'm making fun of you in any way. I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So what is your, have you broadened your horizons at all with your diet for people that are keeping track of this?
I don't know last time we talked, was I on a Caesar salad kick? Do you remember?
Let's see. That kind of sounds familiar. I think you had said that you've never had peanut butter and jelly.
Still haven't done that. Still never had a hot dog.
Never had a hot dog.
I'm super picky, obviously. But, yeah, the Caesar salad is the one thing I would say. I don't remember if we talked about that last time. I tried it within the last year and a half.
Okay.
And before that, I never even ate a salad. And I was like, I mean, Caesar salad is really probably not that healthy. But, like, I'll go get those for lunch. Tomato soup's a new thing that I've recently kind of dabbled into. It sounds like I'm, you know, 4 years old, but yeah, I don't know. I've just always been picky. I'm a big, like,
texture guy. So what makes you want to try these things? You know, if you're like, all right, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to take the leap. I'm going to try my first tomato soup or
whatever.
It's
weird because, like, that night at dinner when I tried the salad like a year and a half ago, I me and Marissa were sitting there, and I was reading, you know, the list, and I was just like, I'm going to try this today, like, and I'm going to like it. And I wish I could get in that mood for everything else. But, yeah, I just tried it. And then the same with tomato soup. It was like a spicy tomato thing. I like spicy stuff. So I was like, I'm just going to go out on a limb and try this here. And it ended up, you know, there's better tomato soups than others. But, yeah, I tried a little bit of seafood stuff recently because my wife loves the beach, like crab dip and stuff like that. I don't even know if that's considered seafood. But lobster I tried recently. Wasn't really a fan. But, yeah, I'm slowly dabbling into it. I know I'm about 20 years too late, but I'm trying to broaden my horizon because I definitely need to for my health and fitness.
Interesting. You know what? Taste buds change. You know, you give yourself some time.
The one thing I did finally, I quit Dr. Pepper completely. That was like a bad habit of mine. I was always drinking Dr. Pepper, and January 1, I said no more, and I ain't had one since. So that is something, going back to your earlier question, I'm proud of that because I go in waves. Like, I'll go, I don't drink one for 2 years, and I get that one time where I'm like, man, I really want one. I get it, and then I get on a kick again, and I'm finally off of it. So that's one thing I've changed kind of in COVID, I guess.
What do you substitute for that drink?
Just water. Wow. Trying to go all water now. And I'm a big yellow Gatorade guy, so that's not really that healthy either probably. But water for sure is my go-to now.
Wow, good for you.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, signature vintage wash sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
What's an embarrassing mistake you've made on the track that you're willing to share with us?
The one that probably comes to mind was my first ARCA race here. You know, I think it was only like my fifth time ever on pavement, and I somehow qualified third, and we're rolling off pit road, and ARCA had this rule where if you came to a stop to readjust your wheel, you go to the back.
Oh.
Like, makes no sense really why that rule even exists. Well, in a sprint car or a midget, when you're cruising around there under yellow, you can just pop the wheel off and put it right back on. It'll keep going straight. I had no idea that a stock car does not do that, apparently. So we're rolling off pit road, and luckily I started third and not fourth, because as soon as I took the wheel off, hard left. I mean, like, full lock to the left, to the inside wall. If I would have started on any outside lane, I'm wiping out the whole field coming off pit road.
Oh, no.
So then I'm trying to not stop because I know the rule. So then I get the wheel back on, it's upside down, and I'm like all over the place. And then finally, like, I had to stop because it was so screwed up, and I had to go to the back. But that was probably the most embarrassing thing. If you go and watch the 2016 ARCA broadcast, you could see me pulled off pit road and just, I mean, hard left right off the pit road. And then it's outside the car, but my first ever sprint car win, it's still kind of embarrassing. You know, everybody, when they win a sprint car, at least a non-wing race, they stand up on the cage.
Yeah.
So I'm all excited. I stand up, and I freaking fell off the thing. Fell down, like, landed on the top of the cage, rolled over onto the tire.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was pretty embarrassing. Wow. But that wasn't inside the car. That was out of the car. But, yeah, the Daytona thing is one that I still – people give me a hard time about all the time.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, now I'm going to have to try to find that clip. Yeah. Obviously, this is a remote working world now. Obviously, you're living in North Carolina. You've been there for a little bit. If they said, you know what, you don't need to live where the shop is anymore, would you want to relocate somewhere else?
You know, I like Indiana a lot. But ever since I moved to North Carolina, I really like the area just because, at least where I'm at, it's 15, 20 minutes to everything. Like, where I'm from in Indiana, at least. I mean, if you want to go to Target, for example, or Chick-fil-A, it's a 30-minute drive. So, like, I like having the convenience of going 2 miles down the road and having, like, a Chick-fil-A or something. So I like the Charlotte area, but at the same time, my wife, her dad has a boat at Myrtle Beach, so, like, we go there a lot. And I'm not a big beach guy, but I like being on the waterway, and I like the mountains. So I don't know. I just want to have stuff readily available nearby. Like, I don't want to be out in the middle of nowhere. But at the same time, I do like having land. But I want to have restaurants closed, grocery, like, I don't want to drive 10, 15 minutes to go do that. So I like the Charlotte area because all that's close. You can go to a baseball game, football game. You know, anything you want to do is within a 20-minute drive typically, and I like that.
Okay. If someone handed you an envelope, and inside this envelope was the date of your final career win, would you want to open the envelope?
Yeah, because I just want to know if I'm going to win a cup race, first off. So absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I would want to know just because then you could know when to hang it up, I guess. Like, you know, don't want to go on a bad streak. Like, you don't want to keep chasing that final win if you know it's never going to come. So I would like to know just because then you could really savor the moment too. And then, I mean, plus you know when you're going to win. Like, who wouldn't want to go into a race knowing you're going to win the thing? So, yeah, I would like to know. I wish that there was some way to do that because I would just love to know if I'm going to win a cup race. So I would gladly do that.
What if for some reason it said that you weren't going to? Like, would you still want to race?
I mean, right now, yeah, just because I've never got to experience cup racing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think if it was towards the end of my career, or, you know, if it said, you know, you're going to race 15 years and never win a race, then, like, that would probably, that'd be tough. You know, I want to win at whatever I'm doing. But at the same time, right now, like, I just want to experience cup racing because I think it's so cool to finally be here. So yeah, I mean, I'm gonna try to win, that's for sure, but I would definitely open the envelope.
So that kind of leads to the next question, I guess, which is, have you achieved your childhood dream?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you would have just told me I was gonna get to run a truck race in my entire life, I would have been like, man, there's no way that's gonna happen. And you know, to be able to be at this point, it's just, it's unbelievable, truthfully. You know, how many things have came back full circle and how many doors have opened that should not have been open. You know, how many people can say they get a drive in the Cup Series but then do it for their childhood hero in a car they, I mean, that was literally the car I cheered for growing up. If I could pick one car in the Cup Series to drive, it's that car. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's still, I mean, it honestly doesn't even seem believable right now. Like, strapping in today, it still didn't feel real. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm living the childhood dream right now, absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, just watching that first practice that you guys had out there, and, you know, you're in the pack and you're, like, drafting right behind Kevin Harvick, and I was just like, man, Chase Briscoe is, like, that's something else, man, you know?
It's definitely crazy, and, you know, just, you know, for me, literally 5 years ago, I was watching on TV, never even raced a stock car. So, like, I'm really recently, like, a true diehard fan, and, you know, I'm fans of a lot of these guys, and, you know, to now be out there racing against them is something really neat. A friend of mine, Tucker Barnhart, won the Gold Glove this past year for the Cincinnati Reds, and he texted me the other day and was like, hey, man, welcome to the big leagues. Just cherish every moment. And I even texted him back, and I was like, is the big leagues any different? He's like, no, it's still the same game. It's just there's going to be more fans, and, you know, the competition's still the same. It's just guys you've watched your whole life you're going to be playing against. So I think just hearing that reassurance from other guys and then, you know, talking to Cole and talking to other people I'm friends with that have now made that transition, you know, it's like Ken Schrader says, it's still a race car. You know, it's just, it's got its own little things that make it unique. So, I mean, all these guys are great race car drivers, and, you know, there's still guys that in sprint car racing, I still get nervous being around. You know, if I'm going up against Sammy Swindell or somebody like that, those are guys that I've looked up to my whole life. So to me, it's no different than over here. Yeah. Everybody still puts their pants on the same way and their shoes on.
That's cool. That's really cool. So obviously each week I ask a question for the next guy. Joey Logano's question was, has the pandemic changed anything you do about your preparation? I know it's different for you now because you're making the leap to a different series. But, you know, do you do things any differently than you did before?
Yeah. I mean, from just learning my team during COVID has been extremely hard because they don't want me at the shop. If I am at the shop, everybody's doing split schedules. I can't take my guys to lunch. Like, that's something I would normally try to do every week, just trying to build that relationship. You know, even just learning their names. I can't see their face, so it's hard to even learn their names. So from that side of things, it's been really, really challenging. But then I feel like I've for sure watched more film than I probably ever have just over the last month. I feel like I'm constantly watching film because I'm just sitting at home. There's nothing else to really do. So I feel like from a preparation standpoint of that side of things, I'm the most prepared I've ever been. So I feel like, yeah, it's definitely changed how you prepare, and specifically for me at least, changed how I build that team chemistry because it's so hard when I'm not allowed to go to the shop. And, you know, all these other guys have been with their same guys for a while now, so they know them really well on a personal level. And, you know, I haven't been able to do that because I'm not allowed to really go and hang out ever.
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting. I didn't think of that. So the next interview, hopefully in a same fence style interview, is going to be with Corey LaJoy. Do you have a question that I can ask Corey?
So, two things. One, what is the scariest thing he's ever had happen inside of a race car? Like this, where he has been, like, absolutely scared. And then number two, a lot of guys have been going dirt racing lately. You know, Chase and, you know, Newman's been doing it now. There's a lot of guys. Does he have any aspirations to try midget racing or sprint car racing? And obviously with the Bristol Dirt Race, everybody's kind of dabbling in a little bit, but any aspirations to go do any of that?
Okay, so what's the scariest thing inside a race car, and then is he interested in trying any dirt?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Well, Chase, man, thank you for this. I don't think you can say historic for a 12 questions interview, but new for me.
This is a new backdrop that we've never had.
I hope that we don't ever have to do this again this way, but I appreciate you giving
it
a try.
I'm just glad we could do it again.
I know. It really is. I mean, I the value of being able to see people and talk to people and hear your voice like this instead of doing it on a Zoom or a phone call, I think, you know, it means a lot. So we appreciate it. So
yeah,
thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I love reading them every week, and I agree. It's definitely better doing it in person than on Zoom. I feel like it's way more genuine, and you get more just personality out of it.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Chase Briscoe on the 12 questions. That was a lot of fun. I feel like we're strong start to this year. We've gotten two really good 12 questions interviews. I'm really happy with how the first couple came out. And guess what? I recorded two more while I was down in Daytona. And audio quality, a little better on those. Nothing perfect, certainly. But next week will be with Corey LaJoy, as you heard. And then the week after that will be with Tyler Reddick. And so I really appreciate all these guys trying it out. You know, I wanted to make sure everybody was comfortable. So I made sure, you know, like, hey, if you guys aren't comfortable doing this, totally, we can do it another time. We can do it over Zoom or whatever, but they're willing to give it a try. So was happy to come away from the Daytona trip with at least some in-person stuff after we hadn't been able to do that for so long. So anyway, thank you guys, as always, for listening. Appreciate you. Send your feedback to Chase if you enjoyed the interview. I like when the drivers know that people listen to it, you know. Hopefully that'll encourage them to come back again. But anyway, thanks as always for listening, and I will talk to you next time on the 12 Questions podcast.